I had an opportunity to talk to Coach O'Brien about taking the job down here, and I, after visiting with him, I liked what he was about. I think he's a football guy and enjoys football, enjoys, you know, coaching the team. And so I was excited about that and thought that this was a good situation. I think it's good ownership, good organization, good general manager, a lot of positives, and good players too. You know, when I looked at the record from last year, all the games were close games. And I know, being in the league as long as I have, that there's a thin line between winning and losing. And so I felt like that this was a good situation, or could be a good situation, because everybody thinks that when you're 2-14, you're no good. And your record is what it is. But from what I saw on the tape, I saw guys hustling, saw guys giving effort, and guys being, you know, in the game in the fourth quarter. And so that indicated to me that maybe they weren't that far away, you know. And so we have the challenge of coming in and trying to win games and quote, turn it around. And I think it's a good challenge. And I think we're up to it, and we're working hard at it. The players are working hard at it, trying to learn the new system. And I think we're making progress at that. We're not where we need to be, and we'll continue to work to try to get to where we need to be. But that's part of the process, and that's part of football, particularly when you're a new staff coming in and changing things up and doing things differently. You know, there on the defensive side, there are some good players. Some of them are coming off injuries. Some of them are learning new positions. But so far, everybody's been working very hard. Everybody's been paying attention in the meeting room. And I have no complaints about their effort and what they're doing. And so we're going to continue the rest of this week and go into minicamp next week. And, you know, and then we'll get some time off, and then we'll come back to training camp. And I think that that's when we really find out what we have, because, like I've said in the past, everybody looks good in shorts, you know. And so we've been in shorts, and so everybody can look good in shorts. But you got to put the pads on, because this is a contact game, a physical game, and we got to find out what the guys can do with pads on. And then I think that we'll know what we have and exactly what we're working with at that time. All right, so from there, I will open it up and let you ask me one or two things.
Romeo, when you, in general, when you hear the news about one of your players, David Quessenberry, how does it affect the coaching staff, the team, that sort of thing?
Well, I tell you, we are all disappointed, you know, that he has to deal with that issue, but we also know that it's part of life, and you have to deal with it. I think the thing that we have to do for him is be as supportive as we can, because I know that it's a tough thing that he has to go through. And so if we can be supportive and give him encouragement, then that can help the battle that he has to fight. And so we've talked to him about fighting that battle and being strong and doing everything he can to get back on the football field. Well, I'm new, so I really didn't know, you know. And he was just out there trying to work, and I know Coach O'Brien didn't think that everything was up to par with him, and it turned out it wasn't, you know. So we just try to encourage him now in the situation that things that he has to deal with.
Romeo, what has it been like for you watching J.J. Watt do his thing out there, work for you?
He's pretty good, I believe, you know. That's what I've kind of noticed about him. He's pretty good. He's kind of a pleasure to work with, because he gives you everything he's got all the time. And from a coaching standpoint, that's what you want from a player. You want the player to give you everything he has. And, you know, and we tell the guys, you know, do your best, and then you let the chips fall where they may. And his best is pretty good.
Coach, when
Well, because we play the 3-4 defense, you have to be good down the middle, you know, and that starts with the nose. And hopefully you can get a guy that commands double teams. And because if he can command double teams, then somebody's going to be free. And we tell them that you have to command the double team, and then you have to beat the double team at the line of scrimmage to get somebody free. Because if you get double team and get knocked 5 yards back, then chances are nobody's going to be free, and there's a big hole in the defense. But the nose is critical. He has to be able to win one-on-one We have to force the double team and then not get killed on the double team. And then that allows the linebackers behind him to be good. That allows the free safety down the middle of the field to be good. And so, therefore, then you can be good down the middle. And because of the way we play the technique, generally we've had bigger guys to be along that front. And then try to put the more athletic guys on the edge of the defense to let them make the plays there.
Romeo, from what you've seen so far with Jadeveon, how excited are you to see his development going at 3-4 outside linebacker or wherever you're going to put him?
Yeah, I think that he's coming along fine. He's studious. He's studying. He's trying to learn the system. He's making that transition a little bit. And so, but it doesn't seem to slow him down or hinder him. Now, he's still a rookie, and I tell everybody, rookies are making rookie mistakes. That's what they do, you know. And so until he can get settled and feel confident in all of his assignments, and then he can become reactive, then I think that that he'll show better at that time. But right now, his head is spinning, just like all the rookies. Their heads are spinning because we've thrown a lot at them. But they're working at it, and they make their mistakes. They learn, and they come back the next day and try to improve and not make the same mistake again.
Do you have a timetable of when? I know that Bill talked yesterday about how you try to give it to him and everybody in packages so that he's learning this position first and then this position and then what to do on dime and nickel and all that. Do you have a timetable for when you'd like him to have certain things down by?
Yesterday? No, I mean, there's no real timetable, you know, because everybody learns differently and everybody goes at a different rate, you know. So we're going to teach him as hard as we can, and if he studies as hard as he can, then it'll be sooner rather than later. But, you know, hey, we all know that we're going to play games in the fall, and so we'd like for him to be ready by then for sure. But we'll just keep working with him, and he's making progress.
What type of player that Brian Cushing is, you can just talk about that a little bit. And also, is it enough just for him to be in meetings and walkthroughs at this point right now, picking up your defense and the leader role he has in the middle of it?
You know what? He seems to be pretty sharp on picking the things up. You know, he's been in the meetings, and he's got some terminology, and he can make some calls and things like that. But I don't think that the meetings can replace being on the field and getting it firsthand, you know, because things happen pretty quick out there on the field. And so you have to get used to the tempo of the field. And so when you're not out there, you can't get used to that tempo. So until he can get out there, you know, he's going to study and he's going to pick it up. I can tell that already. But we got to get him out there so that he can see it and react to it.
How special is it to get a chance to coach with Mike Vrabel?
Well, probably as special as it was when I had a chance to coach Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike is one of those studious guys. He's a competitive guy. He's a hard worker, and he coaches that way as well. And so he is like the player who played for me. And so it feels good to have him on my side.
Did you think that you would be a coach at some point when you were coaching him?
No, you never really know. You know, you know that the guy is sharp and he has got a good football mind, but but I know that in the past, players weren't crazy about going into coaching. Now more players seem to want to go into coaching a little bit. And sometimes their experience makes the difference on whether they stick or stay. You know, some of them give it a try, then decide they don't like it. Some of them get to a good situation and things go good and they like it, and then they're committed to it, you know, and Mike is committed to coaching. And so he's a good coach and will be a good coach.
Bill, you've been around the game for many years. What motivated you to get back in, and in particular this job, take over this defense?
Well, like I said, you know, when you looked at the defense, you look at the organization, you look at the people, I think with myself, I'm at the stage in my career where people are important, you know. I mean, we all want to win, but if you got good people and you can work with good people, that makes the job easier in my mind. And I just felt like that this situation was a good situation. I felt like the people were good people and that I would enjoy working with them. So that made it easy for me to come and give it a shot. Well, I feel pretty decent about it. You know, we've got competitive guys. One, I've got Kendrick Lewis, who I had in Kansas City, so I know what he's about. We got Chris Clemens, who we picked up, and he's a good guy and good experience, been playing in this league. I mean, I kind of value experience a little bit, so those two guys helped me at that spot. As far as the line goes, I really didn't know about the line because we lost guys in free agency, and the guys who have been here hadn't played that much. But so far, I'm impressed with what I see, and I think that they're going to be pretty competitive.
You have several. Lewis Nick so far as a rookie.
Well, he got himself banged up early, and so his knee was an issue, and so he hasn't had as much opportunity, but I can tell he's a sharp guy and kind of got a wit about him, and his head is spinning as well. But I think as soon as that knee gets well, he's a big, strong, physical player, and he's played the nose position, and so he knows how to play it. So I think that will bode well for him.
There are several guys, you touched on a couple of them, who play for you that are here now. How much does that help in terms of, as you put your system in, have people who've worked with you before?
Well, I think it's important. One, they know what I'm looking for, and they can tell the players here about me and what I'm looking for and what the defensive scheme requires. And so now, you know, players sometimes when they talk to another player, they will listen a little bit better than maybe when the coach tells them. So I think that's helpful to have a couple guys like that. You know, and take Mike Vrabel is a guy who's played the defensive line, played linebacker, outside backer, inside backer, you know, so he can talk to these guys and coach them and tell them about a lot of things about playing in this scheme that will benefit them.
The way that JJ played defensive end isn't really the way that position is played a lot in the NFL. And when people talk about your scheme, it's not how they view the defensive end position. How do you see using JJ?
Well, I see putting JJ on the field and let him making the plays that he's been making, because I have not seen a defense yet that did not use playmakers. And if you got a playmaker, you're going to use the playmaker, you know, and JJ is a playmaker. So you'll find out that you have to be flexible and you have to adapt in the NFL from game to game, from week to week, sometimes from day to day. And we'll do what we need to do to put the best football players on the field and play with them.
Coach, you've said at one point, I think in an interview when you arrived to Kansas City, that when you build your defense, it's built around your defensive line. Do you still believe in that philosophy coming forward now?
Sure. Yes, I do. You know, because, like I say, you got to have those big, strong, physical guys on the inside to make the inside of the defense good, and then you can put those athletic guys on the edge and let them flash a little bit. But they're not allowed to flash if the guys inside don't do their job. So we got to be good on the inside.
Coach, what do you see in DJ Swearinger?
I like DJ. He's a competitive guy. I like the fact that he's competitive. I like the fact that he can cover tight ends, and every once in a while we'll throw him on a wide receiver and cover backs out of the backfield. Looks like he's pretty aggressive and wants to mix it up, you know, as far as being in the box sometimes. So I think he brings a lot to the table.
Romeo, could you talk about Brooks Raid? Is he an inside linebacker now?
Well, not totally. We're working him, you know, we're giving him a look on the inside, and I think that what that does is that increases our flexibility, that if he can go inside and get it done inside, I know that he can get it done outside because he played outside all last year, you know. So now I feel like that I can put him at either spot depending on what I need, what the needs are, and he's a value to us.
How does he fit in now?
Well, he's playing at other outside linebacker spot right now. I mean, I'm one of those guys who I feel like guys have to earn their position, all right? And so Clowney, I know he's the number one, but he's got to earn his spot in my eyes. And so he is trying to learn, and if he learns, then chances are that he'll get playing time, you know. If he doesn't learn, then he probably won't get as much playing time. And now then, that's where Merciless, he's going to be there, and he's going to play. Or if it's Brooks is going to play. And so I feel like I can still go ahead and line up, you know. Now, with Clowney and Clowney's ability, if he comes along, then Brooks having the ability to go inside just makes us better, I believe.
Clowney's been compared or been thrown around the idea of a Willie McGinnis kind of making a similar transition, a hybrid-type D and linebacker. Do you see him being a similar-type player and how you might use him?
Well, I think at this point, that's what we're looking at, a transition like such, a rush in, trying to become a linebacker, you know. Now, only time will tell whether he can make that transition or not.
What do you
think about his athletic ability to stand up and make those kind of plays at linebacker?
Well, one, he's got really good athletic ability. You know, got size, speed. I think he's got deceptive strength. So he's got the tools. Now the thing is the dropping in pass coverage and route recognition and all those kind of things that, you know, you just don't learn them overnight. You got to get some reps at them.
Did you come up with a lot of knowledge about Clowney at his pro day with what you were able to do with him, working with him?
Well, just watching him work, I think the thing that you look at is how he does in his movement on his two-point stance and dropping in coverage, and can he flip his hips and turn his hips and those kind of things. And it looked like that he could do that in the workout.
You talked a lot about the family, the people here, why you wanted to come here. When you first sat down with Coach O'Brien about the opportunity, obviously you had a relationship with him. What were you looking for to hear from him, and what made you think the situation working with him as the head coach would be successful?
Well, I really didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't know him at all. And so that's why I wanted to sit down and talk to him. And then after talking to him, I felt like he was a football guy. Football was important to him. Winning was important to him. And that's where he was going to put his efforts. And I think that that's what I was looking for, someone where football was important, and that he's going to give everything he's got, you know, to the team. And so I felt like I wanted to be part of it.
Tell me, what does it mean to you that what you've done and what you do, what you do is so highly thought of?
Well, I mean, hey, look, I'm just one guy. There are a lot of coaches in the NFL. They all work very hard. They all put in time. And like I told you, there's a thin line between winning and losing, and a thin line between being good and bad. And I've been fortunate in my career, and I'm blessed, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I can give me a dollar and a half with that and go buy me a cup of coffee. Because that's the way this business is. It's what have you done for me lately? And I haven't done anything lately. So I've got to work to try to get something done.
How have you changed over your career? Is there any area that you say, okay, I can see myself as different than when I first started?
I don't yell and scream as much as I used to. You know, when I was younger, I'd yell and scream more. All right, thank you. Enjoy talking to you. Take care.